Welcome back, Survivor fans. It is season 26, episode 9 of your favorite island reality show, Survivor. Fans versus favorites, Karamoan 2.0/B. I'm Ralph with co-host Chris. And the Bulls won tonight, and the Knicks didn't, so there.
Yeah, and I'm sitting directly across from Ralph, wearing my Knicks hat in shame. This is our first face-to-face podcast in... Gosh, I feel like it's been, I want to say it's been three and a half seasons
yeah,
since we've done
since
a face-to-face.
Yeah, not since first season of podcasting when we were the Merge.
When we were the Merge, right. That's right. This is our first face-to-face podcast under the name Tribal Council.
Yeah.
Face-to-face is, brings me back to like the Billy Joel, Elton John concerts. And yeah.
Dueling pianos?
Right. I mean, well, it wasn't really dueling pianos because like they never act. That was the funny thing is they called it face-to-face. And as if I recall correctly, the majority of the show was actually solo. Like, they would just come out and do, like, two or three songs together. And then, like, the other guy would run his show.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you got two of the biggest heads in Hollywood.
Well, yeah.
You know, they're going to have ego to want to do their own thing, so.
Indeed.
I have to tell you, I don't, you know, we Skype the normal podcast, and I'm so used to just watching sound waves
I
go
know.
By.
I know.
I don't
maintain
eye contact.
It's weird.
It's odd.
I may need to go in the other room while we do this, Ralph.
That would make me feel a little more at home, or at least just turn your chair, and that way...
Right. We could... Well, it's because the new connection speed in your new apartment isn't so great.
It's atrocious.
But it seems like... I mean, heck, I just did a speed test. It took more than half of a second just to do a ping, which that's not good news.
Not good news.
What we could do is, because your Wi-Fi router is strong, we could just run the webcams over the Wi-Fi router.
And not through Skype.
And I could go in the other room. I mean, it's worth a shot.
Worth a shot.
If the chemistry doesn't seem to be working, we can. Yeah.
If we seem a little off our game this week, it's because we're actually talking to each other.
Right.
Instead of just waiting for the other guy to shut up.
Exactly, because who knows what's gonna happen with the connection and when it's going to hiccup.
Right. Okay, so let's get back into it. Where does the episode begin? I guess we're coming back with Corinne gone.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I have no idea where it picks up. All I can think of is the reward challenge, but I can't think of what happened before that.
I think we watched talk between the Beefcake Alliance. And I think... I could totally be wrong. I mean, when I watched the episode, I was planning on a rewatch. It didn't happen. And, I mean, to be honest, Tribal Council is the only thing I remember from the episode vividly.
Yeah.
I think it was the Beefcake Alliance. And it was a bunch of them, like, reassuring each other, like, oh, yeah, we're fine. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird. Like, I mean, I guess it's good that they're not, like, you know, in panic mode and, like, you know, ready to off each other or anything like that, but yeah, I thought it was kind of odd that they were, I felt like they were a little overly calm about it.
I think the only thing that was solace for them, at least for Malcolm, is knowing that it didn't seem like the other group had picked up that they were working under the assumption that they thought Corinne was the head of the snake and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
the
sort
good
of
news
silly.
Is that Philip's not running the show. Well, it's becoming more and more Andrea and Dawn show, and
right.
You know, Andrea is hip to what Malcolm's up to.
Yeah, I feel like that was short-sighted of Malcolm. Like
yeah,
Malcolm makes it seem,
right.
He makes it sound like they were all thinking that he's just following her because she led him astray, and that suddenly he's gonna be back in the fold with them. When it's like. No, this is highly awkward.
People can
because,
count the votes.
Well, yeah, and it's highly awkward because it's like, you know, you voted against that group, but like there was nothing explicit between you guys that you guys would know that you were on opposite sides of the fence. Now, you know, it's one thing when it's like the original fans tribe and like you know the Cool Kids Alliance or whatever we were calling them.
Yeah.
Like lines were drawn and everybody knew where everybody stood, so people talked openly about it, and so it was no big deal. But like this was all highly subversive, and you know, so it's a little awkward, and he doesn't seem to think there's anything wrong. Like, oh yeah, they're just going to think I'm cool again.
It did seem a little colorblind or short-sighted, whatever metaphor you want to use, but our boy kind of was looking a little slow, but he made a nice comeback.
Our boy, I don't remember you picking him. He's my horse.
All right,
don't try and get on the bandwagon.
Well, hey, I feel like
he has a strong finish in this episode. Suddenly, you want on the bandwagon.
Those of us who are ardent Survivor fans appreciate Malcolm for his desire to play the game.
That's
at a
true.
High level.
That's true.
And I, you know, we were, you know, I don't just discuss Survivor with you now. I hate to break it, but multiple people have entered my life.
This is no good.
Want to talk the show? Okay, and the general consensus has been like. You know, we were talking about Reynolds. It was like, is Reynolds deserving of our appreciation? Where does he stand in the hierarchy of this kind of thing? And my conclusion was that he should be appreciated solely on the basis that he's dying to stay.
Mm-hmm. And he's doing things to make things happen. Right? I mean, he's playing the game in true survival mode, right? I mean, he's playing the game like...
Without numbers. He's playing the game
without numbers and just try... Each week, like, I guess got to make something happen this week and get myself to the next one. And he's pulling it off.
And I think he's backed off some of his kind of arrogant ways, and he's still kind of dumb when it comes to, like, appealing to someone like Cochran and not trying to be like, hey, bro. Like, obviously he shouldn't be doing that approach, but... I feel like that's maybe the only approach he knows.
Right.
You would think he's a little smoother than that. He has that veneer of being kind of a suave guy.
Right.
But, you know, aside from his lack of social...
Well, he blew it with two people this week. Him and Dawn, right? Like, he tried to play a pseudo-intimidation card with Dawn,
right.
And she talked about, like... I mean, that's two people where not only did what he do not work... Like, what he did was, like, after when they talked about it in their confessional, was, like, the worst way to come at me kind of thing.
Yeah. She's not
to
meek.
To be fair, you know, you're talking about two people in the majority alliance and someone in the minority alliance. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a bunch of free agents out here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they were never really going to be listening that closely anyway. It's not like Dawn's vote was one to be won by him, but nonetheless, he has been a little tone deaf. It seems.
Why haven't the bros
to use a different
tone deaf
a different one?
Why haven't the bros been more proactive about trying to lock in Eric and Brenda? Like, how can you not say to them, "Look, you are clearly not in the power center
of
this alliance."
Well, I mean, the thing is okay, Eric. I agree, Eric. They should be all over him and.
Not in a bro way. Not in a bro way. That is not a bro. He's kind of like this hippie. And
they need to.
Peace, love, and happiness.
But he can. I think he can be appealed to the way Malcolm was saying he should be appealed to, and that was as somebody who can dominate challenges. And while I don't necessarily agree with that, you can still appeal to him on that level, and maybe. I mean, not that I think that he's a terribly vain guy, but.
He does take pride in that.
But everybody has a little bit of vanity, and like if you're gonna pay them a compliment and you at all believe that it might be true, then you're gonna start listening. Brenda's trickier, and I think the key is
Brenda ever not in the water? Except during challenges. She's always in the water when we see her, right?
And even during some challenges.
And even during a lot of challenges, yeah. She's in the water.
I mean, I think the key in the majority alliance at Spies R Us or whatever it is.
Don't you dare. That is stealth R Us. Come on. Don't you dare.
I think the key is it seems like they've done a decent job of not allowing any true, like, Russian nesting alliances to have formed. You know? You like the Russian nesting analogy there?
I like it.
I think I sort of see a four in the pair of Redemption Islanders and the pair of South Pacificers, Cochran, Dawn, and
Philip and Andrea.
I mean, obviously, number six in that alliance and number seven in that alliance are a toss-up between Eric and Sherry. You might make the argument that they could step up ahead of Brenda, maybe. But even still, I mean, that's a
I feel
very
like Sherry definitely could move ahead of Brenda.
Yeah, I think she more so than Eric, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Just simply out of desperation.
Does Eric have a name? Does he have?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he just? Does. Is he just like? Is he the 31 or something?
Well, what's crazy is that, like,
the scooper.
You know, at the beginning, he was staunchly against this sort of vote with intimidation thing that Philip was trying to do, and now all of a sudden,
that's true. Yeah, because he was in the. That's right. He was in the minority on the original favorites.
He was
drive.
Not happy with Philip Strongarm.
Yeah, and now that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. You'd think he would have been in with Corinne.
You know what I want, and this is I tried to bring this up earlier, but I didn't want to break your flow. But like, I want like a little. I want a heat or a position map. Like, you ever played like a soccer game, and you can kind of see a little picture of the field, and you see all the 22 dots and the, like,
yeah.
where they are in the field.
Yeah.
Like, I want a little like lower right hand corner map of like
where all
the survivors are on the island.
On
the island. It kind of occurred to me while
because this episode, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
This episode is full of like all of these 2 and 3 person conversations off in the woods, and
in
you're
weird
like,
places. Like,
right.
Where are they? Which
right.
beach are they on? And then you look in the background, you'd see like Eddie walking up a beach behind them, and be like, okay, but like, why aren't they looking out for who's walking up behind them? Like,
right.
You know, stuff like that. So
no, I had the same sort of thought because this episode felt like more than any. Maybe
the scenery kept changing.
maybe the previous episode is the only one that could hold a candle to it in terms of the like the little paired and trioed conversations.
Yeah.
But yeah, it. I noticed the same sort of thing. Like I kept thinking, like, do they just, like, does the production staff just step in and just say, okay, we're pairing you guys off, and you have to all walk in opposite directions. Like, and we're going to see what happens. You know, like,
because, hey, stop clumping.
Because otherwise, like, why would people be, like, why wouldn't there just be, there must be, like hours and hours of dailies of the rest of the tribe saying, hey, where are Andrea and Philip?
Right.
Hey, where are Eddie and Reynold? Hey, where are Malcolm, Eddie, and Reynold? Hey,
right.
where
well,
are Dawn
why,
and Brenda?
This is why like, Ross and Rob had a buddy system.
So well, right. Well, and Philip has been talking about it. I mean, I got to give Philip credit. He seems to have adapted. You know, we talk about play your own game. Don't try to play a game that doesn't fit your personality.
Exactly.
And he seems to have actually have adapted the Boston Rob school of thought, philosophy, whatever
you
want to call it.
You have to swallow hard before you say it. I get it.
Yeah, but he seems to have adopted it well in a way that suits him. Like,
suits him.
He's taking the things that he can use without it just feeling like him trying to be somebody he's not. And he's mixing it with this little brand of crazy that he has going
right.
on. You know, he's got his little island, you know, skull and bones thing going on, or whatever it's called. Is that the name of the underground?
Yeah, Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones? I couldn't remember. I was trying to remember that silly...
That's good.
What was it, like a Ryan Phillippe movie from the...
Josh...
From the 90s. Oh, yeah, Josh Jackson was
Josh
in it,
Jackson.
Wasn't he? That's
yeah.
right. Pacey.
Pacey.
Also, yeah. Charlie something or other from the Ducks.
Right.
From
the
Mighty
Ducks.
Ducks.
Yeah.
Charlie... I can't come up with a
name. That's all right. That's okay.
Oh, this is going to vex me.
No.
Anyway.
So, reward challenge, you know, it ended up being splitting off guys and the rest of the girls with, I think, Reynolds? No, with Malcolm.
Malcolm.
It was Malcolm and the girls. Sherry didn't get picked, looked very not happy about that.
Yeah.
And then the guys. And
yeah, what happened to the... I actually really liked the, like, odd person out got to hitch to someone's wagon. I liked that, because there was a degree.
I think I like it this way.
Really?
Yeah.
But then it becomes such a Darwinism thing.
You're talking to biologists.
Well, right.
No, I guess I see it both ways.
But I feel like this way...
There's a politics move in choosing a team.
Exactly.
So it's another chance to play strategy.
But and then also there's almost a sense in which you might want to... you know, like when you're down to 2 or 3 people left to pick, and like there's somebody who's the obvious last pick, you know, in terms of building the strongest team... There's somebody you might want to pick to avoid letting them hitch their wagon to the other team or something like that, you know? Even though, you know what I mean? Because it's the last...
Just in case, well, whoever they hitch their wagon to, they're whisking away with that group to either
exactly.
the camp
exactly.
or the reward.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, and the thing I noticed in the challenge is, if I'm not mistaken, Malcolm was up on the perch first, and he was scored on last for the game winner.
Oh, so you're saying they didn't have a chance to match.
Yeah, what's up with last licks here? I mean, come on, right? Is this, have we taken it back to childhood here?
No,
right?
Yeah, I last get it. Licks? I totally get it. I was
like, this is a very inning-oriented challenge they've put together
this
here.
This is a very personal memory, Chris.
Yes.
I am a grammar Nazi, and it stems from an eighth-grade spelling bee. I was spelling early in the round because I had a last name that started with B, and we were down to three, and the finals were two. So I step up there first in one of the round of threes. I missed my word. It was chronicle. I spelled it with an A-L at the end.
Oh, okay.
Like it was an adjective.
Like principal.
Yeah.
Right. Well, one of the principals.
And... Right.
Not the best example for this.
No. Like the head of a school, not like
right.
one of your core beliefs.
Right.
Right.
Like being big on grammar.
Like being good.
Full circle.
Right. So I missed the word, and they're like, all right, we have our final two. And I was like, hold on a second.
Right.
Why don't they have to spell this word to earn their trip into the finals? They just
right.
get to pass along because they didn't get the other word that I got.
Right.
So,
did they end up getting their words right anyway?
I have no
their
idea.
First word?
No.
Well, here's the thing.
I just remember being a 13-year-old boy man and
jaded
leaving
on.
There crying because I felt like I'd been,
I don't,
been
I still,
a miscarriage
I,
of justice.
I still have missed. This is like a 12-step proof that you only got to step 8. How does this? What does this have to do with you being a grammar Nazi?
Oh, just because like I associate, like I have to be right about spelling now. And punctuation and all of that.
Oh, I see
so
what you're saying.
It's all about getting the language right, because heaven forbid I ever get it wrong again, because it was awful.
I see what you're saying.
Sorry, you're right. I did not get to QED.
Yes, exactly. What bugs me is I feel like spelling bees in general, like the script spelling bee, doesn't it, like, you get down to the final two or whatever, and... If someone gets one wrong, then the person has to not only complete that row, they have to do two words.
They have to do another word after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in essence, you have to last not just one round longer than your opponent lasted, but two rounds longer than your opponent
well,
lasted.
Well, you have to finish as many rounds as your opponent did.
Right.
And then you have to get another word.
No, but that's not the way I've taken it.
Mm.
My understanding is that like you enter round 35.
Mm-hmm.
You go first, you get your word wrong, I'm the other finalist. I not only have to spell my round 35 word mm-hmm. correctly, but also my round 36 word correctly.
Well, not round 36, just this extra word.
Okay, but that's essentially round 36,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Which makes no sense, because I survived round 35,
correct.
You didn't.
Correct.
That should be enough right there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, are we just trying
we're to,
like...
We're saying the same things, we're just saying...
Are we supposed to... Are we just trying to put, like, the extra nail in the coffin and, like, make it clear, like, this really is
right.
the winner?
Yes.
I guess there's a degree. It's ah, you know what it is. This is old school pickup hoops, man. Win by two, right? Man, we're getting all of like the childhood games worked in here, man. We got the spelling bee. We got the win by two. We got the last licks.
It's like in horse when like you try to make the guy hit it again because like that you're like whatever. What's
right.
it called? Like to prove it or something.
Maybe something
I don't know.
Like that.
But it's the
yeah.
same thing. It's like okay. Like,
right.
So what? Do it again. You know.
Ralph, at the beginning of the next segment, before you start, I'm going to make you check check control of the past podcast to me so that I can give it back to you.
Check
the ball at the beginning of a point in basketball. You know,
it.
You check.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
All right. It was a stretch. I pushed it. I went too far. I Georged it. Got to go out on a high note.
Okay. So they're at the reward challenge, and they're wolfing down these sandwiches, and... Cochran is slipping down the rocks, and they try to approach Cochran. Liam, like, hey, you know that alliance you're on top of right now? It's crap. You should come join
right.
these guys
yeah.
where you'll be at the bottom of our group, and not only that, you'll be the weakest, and you'll never win an immunity challenge against us.
Right. Yeah, that was it. Was
why don't we just do the? Why don't we just not play for a while? Like, I mean, that always seems like a good decision in that kind of group where it's like very clear, no one in that group's flipping. Just
well, and the thing is that's actually where usually I feel like the best moves are made, because people let down their guard.
Yeah.
And then you have like genuine conversations.
Correct. And you connect.
And you connect. And so you like, you know, Cochran walks away feeling like he's actually built a bond with you and he has an affinity for you. And so thus he walks away less likely, you know, wanting less to vote you out versus.
Well, that's why that family episode in like the last seven is always nice. It's like, you know, three people and their loved ones get together. They don't talk the game. Unless we're talking about last season.
Well, that's true. Yeah, where Blair got talked out of being a pushover.
Right. But like, they don't really talk the game, and they just sort of get to know each other. Like, oh, you like your family too? I like my family. Isn't it great having family? And then they all like realize that they would rather not be at each other's throats. They'd rather work together. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the right, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was the wrong time to make that play, for sure.
I agree.
That's been the story of Reynolds.
Yeah,
the wrong time, the wrong move. Good intentions, just.
I mean, you know. So I guess this is now way. Well, I'm jumping way ahead. But,
nah, that's right.
You know, we're talking about Reynolds, so I was thinking about Eddie, and you know how many bad.
Are we talking about Reynolds or Reynolds?
Reynolds.
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 Because Philip keeps calling him Reynolds.
Yes, I realized the second time you said it, that's where you were.
Reynolds rap.
I felt like this was the first episode that he had done that.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Of course, then again, he's only had two
episodes.
He's
not had to say his name much.
Of opportunity to do so. So it's not, but we were talking about Reynolds, so I started thinking about Eddie. And, you know, Eddie, despite all of the bad moves he's made so far, I mean, it's not like he was trying to do this, but he pulled it off. He got Malcolm. He saved Malcolm. In this episode.
He saved Malcolm in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I guess obviously at the end we find out he wouldn't have even needed the saving, and actually he would have been better off having not had saved
Correct.
Malcolm.
Correct. He screwed it up. He didn't save Malcolm.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about this. Yeah, you're right. I guess you're right. He did, in a sense, he screwed it up.
In a sense, he screwed it up. And not completely in a sense. Like, he definitely affected what would have happened.
Yes, but I mean, if he has to pick between Malcolm or Michael going home, he wants Michael to go. He trusts Malcolm more than he trusts Michael, I think.
But he would rather that Malcolm gets the votes and then someone from the other group goes home.
Right. But he doesn't know that Malcolm has an idol. He doesn't know that
Malcolm's going to command the idol.
That Malcolm, Malcolm is going to use the mortal comment, "Get over here!"
What?
And like, and just bring in the idol from Reynolds. So, I mean, it's...
What was the whole romantic interlude? I guess it was only to just set up why it was that things played out the way they did.
Right, with that weird... Well, with the two of them there, I mean, that was like... That was a pretty impressive little... I mean, that was like a... Is it a joust? No, is it called a joust? The horseback with the big lance and the shield, and you run at each other on the horse? It's called a joust, okay. Well, I suddenly was... questioning because I was picturing the joust from American Gladiators where you just have the big poogle sticks, which is not
that
at all
the
like
first
it.
Time we've ever talked about pugil sticks.
Pugil or however pugil, stick. Pugil or whatever.
Puggle sticks?
Puggle sticks? I don't know. If only we had a grammar Nazi.
Low blow. Like, as with a pugil stick.
It's
like pugilistic. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the word, that's where the root is. Not you know, like, you know, someone who's very combative.
I'm sorry, are you saying that the root of pugil is pugilistic?
Okay, I'm done.
Not to mention, you're picking a less common word to help me understand the more common word.
Pugilistic is more common.
You're telling me that's more common than the word pugil, however it's pronounced, in reference to the stance. I don't know. But anyway, it felt very much like... Sort of like the joust, or like a game of chicken or something like that, where two people just running at each other. Right. Who's going to flinch first, you know? And it was kind of cool because they're both fast talking at each other, because like they're
having... We are talking about Andrea and Eddie, right?
Yeah, Andrea and Eddie. They're having this conversation out, like, you know, hidden off somewhere, you know, somewhere else. The other nine people are like, hey, where are Andrea and Eddie? And... You know, so they're trying to talk really fast so that this conversation ends quickly, but they're also trying to
distract. They're both very aware that they're on opposite sides.
Right. And there's this, like, there's also this, like, tiny little, like, star-crossed lovers, like, pseudo-lovers,
so bizarre.
Tinge to it.
Just tell me who, and I'll vote that way.
Right. But, like, they're both so aware that the other is almost certainly trying to play them while you try to play that person. And so, but they're still trying their damnedest to do it, even though they know the other is also not going to give. Like,
right.
Andrea was, like, wow, the puppy dog eyes were out.
Yeah.
I mean, she was, oh, like that look of just like.
Oh, after?
No, during.
Oh.
During, she was like, she was given a major puppy dog eyes.
Well, it's so funny because it's like, he's like, well, you know, Reddit's going to play an idol. And she's like, wait, Reynolds going to play an idol? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, Reynolds has an idol? He's like, I'm not sure anymore. At this time, I'm not sure anymore.
Right, yeah, he kind of painted himself into a corner.
He totally just painted himself into a corner.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's that, you know, saying, like, give him enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah,
walked right into it, and then, like, he tried
Eddie
to walk himself
Eddie's
out
of his
it.
League there. He's out of his league trying to spar verbally with her.
You know, I think one of the things that leads to the blindsidiness of these fans versus favorite seasons, and we're getting into that. I promise you, next week, I can almost guarantee it'll be another blindside. Like, whoever it is going home won't be aware.
So does that mean you think Malcolm doesn't go home next week?
I think Malcolm does not go home next week.
Do you think it's because of his idol?
I think it's because of his idol.
Yeah?
Yes.
Because
his ability to win a challenge.
That, I didn't even think about that. They must assume now. They're going to assume
there's
now.
No
that,
idol.
That there's no idol. Or at the very least, Malcolm doesn't have it, because why would Malcolm try to get him?
Correct. It was brilliant.
Oh.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
That was like next level. I didn't even think of that.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Listen. Here's what's going
to
happen.
Suddenly we don't... 60 episodes in, now we're suddenly wanting to adhere to the timeline of the show.
Flashback to fans versus favorites. What was the actual... Was it actually just... Did it have a place name? It was just fans versus favorites.
It was Micronesia.
Micronesia. Okay. Flashback to Micronesia.
I'm so glad we actually were able to get some
Phil
small piece of Survivor trivia right in our podcast.
Season 20... Season Micronesia.
No, it wasn't 20. It was like 16 or 18.
Season 16,
17,
Season
18.
Micronesia. That's what Philip would call it. It was 20.
See, that's right. Yeah, we number it. Yeah.
Was that Hans? 20 was Hans?
19 was Hans's first season.
20 was Villains here.
20 was Hill. Yeah, Heroes Villains.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there were like 4 weeks in a row where the girls in that tribe somehow got it past these guys, and every single week a guy got blindsided home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. James went home with two idols,
weeks
didn't
in
he?
A row.
No, that was China when he went home.
But I know, I remember, like, Ozzy getting blindsided. And,
right.
Just a bunch of guys, boom, 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 blindsided, right? So I think there's something about the combination of a group of fans and a group of favorites where there's a lot of savvy with the favorites, and the fans create enough mistakes and uncertainty amongst the favorites to create these blindsides. So, like,
yeah, but
you know, Corinne got blindsided because she was trying to work with fans, but she also was working against favorites, and, like, it never occurred.
Yeah, but, I mean, in that first fans versus favorites season, if I'm not mistaken, the final six is 3-3, fans and favorites.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's the
particular... Ciri was a fan in that one.
No, she wasn't.
You sure?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was...
Ciri was in the
Cook
Islands.
She was a favorite? Oh, was she?
She was in the young black tribe or the old black tribe.
Why you gotta bring?
No, she was just the black tribe. Right.
Why has it gotta be about race?
Because it was about race.
You actually didn't mean black as in African American. I was thinking you were talking about the color of their buffs, and I was trying to give you a hard
time. No, I meant like racially. It was broken down by race.
That's right. That was the season where
white,
they went
Asian,
by
Latino,
race.
Latino, black.
Right. That's right.
And she was on the black.
I forgot about that. You're right. She was.
She was a favorite.
Yeah, they were 3-3.
But that doesn't. I'm not saying it doesn't
right.
matter what the numbers are.
I see what you're saying.
You have
saying,
a group
though,
of
yeah.
savvy. Versus a group of people who are trying to play,
right.
but they may not be doing it right. And it creates this environment where, like, even the favorites don't exactly know where it's going to break, but whoever's going home won't see it coming.
Yeah. It's 16, by the way. I just did a little double check on it.
Oh. For
16th season
fans
was,
versus favorites.
Was fans versus favorites, Micronesia.
But I think I can.
You think that's where
I'm
we're headed?
I'm sure next week's going to be a blindside.
So
whoever's
you,
going home won't know they're going home.
So do you think. So you think Malcolm will have to play his idol again? Malcolm's
or he's
Malcolm's
have to
screwed.
Win.
I think yeah. That's what he needs to get into deets mode real fast.
And he can.
Yes, he can.
But let's talk about this challenge, because it was awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
I always said, and you and I have both subscribed, like, it's how bad do you want it? How much are you willing to tolerate?
Yeah.
You know, and you just got to do it. Although, yeah.
I don't love the fact that, like, you're kind of flirting with death here.
Right.
In a sense, right? I mean, maybe not fully.
I was like, oh my God, but, someone's going to drown.
Right. So that's the part that I'm, like, you know, how bad do you want it with, like, standing on a pole is a little less lethal than how bad do you want it, we're going to drown you.
That's what made this so cool. I mean, like, the tide's going to come in.
Well, that's the other thing I was wondering about.
It's so inevitable.
Like, did we really need to start with the water down, like, 12 inches? Like,
it wasn't that low. It wasn't that low. It was probably 4 inches or so.
No, but they waited.
They waited an hour.
Think about how long it takes for the tide to come in. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, they're in the water.
That's part of the torture, too.
You think just letting them sit there in the water?
Yeah, let them sit and, like, fester.
I guess.
You know? It's like,
even though you're not remotely being tested by the level of the water.
Right, because you're being buoyantly kind of cushioned.
I guess.
Although.
Maybe get dizzy there.
Was it a coincidence that the two people who were able to grip their legs over the railing stayed the longest? Because I don't think the guys could have gotten their legs through that rail. Maybe Cochran.
I agree with you. Stacy made a comment to me that I think actually really is what's at play here. And while it is a male-female thing, I actually think it has less to do with the legs. I think what it is it's a male-female thing, but it's really actually just a small features thing.
So you can get more of your features.
So you can get more of your face through those pipes.
She is mouthy. You know,
right.
She is very mouse-like. So
both of them are. Yeah.
Snout.
Yeah, but, like, both Andrea and Brenda are.
But Brenda, like, artificially enhanced with that little mouth cone,
right.
You know?
I would say that's natural enhancement, not artificial enhancement.
Okay. She manually enhanced?
But she definitely is, yeah, very much manually enhanced.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right. Manually, man from the hands, right?
From the hand.
I mean, right? Get a Latin teacher on this podcast. Not the school.
Right,
the language.
Yeah. I was like, okay, was that
a pun?
Is that a pun?
Okay. We're going to make that saying happen, so I'm telling you. 5 years.
First, you got to make it a hashtag. Then you can make it a
hashtag. It's a pun?
Hashtag.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, people are already tweeting that, thanks to me, obviously.
From your VB poker account.
Right.
About puns.
Right. Yeah, I was particularly impressed because I remember thinking, like, before it even really happened more than once or twice, that the second you go under, you're done. Like, even though a lot of them would go under, they'd hold themselves under, sort of pushing their hands against the bars, just to hold their position and hold their breath so that they're not, like, flailing around or whatever, in hopes that they can buy an extra 8-10 seconds, whatever it is, and maybe, you know, who knows, because most of them, when they go out, they have no idea how many people are left.
Yeah. But some of them would go down and look.
Yeah, that's true. Malcolm made a full look. I think Malcolm was actually the only one I felt like who actually looked.
I saw one or two of them.
Here's
the thing. Once you go under, your nostrils will never clear. You know?
Right.
Like, you might be able to get your mouth completely
sealed.
Sealed.
Right.
But your nasal passages will never clear.
Right. Well, but you can always, you can blow out as you're coming up. You can exhale as you're coming up and then get up, and you just need to time that exhale so that as you break surface, you're still exhaling. And I got to say, I was majorly impressed. How many times did Andrea go down?
Two or three.
Two, possibly three
two
times
three.
She resurfaced
yeah.
before
pretty
bailing
crazy.
Out. That was impressive.
It was.
And she was battling.
She
and
was.
Did she look? Could she see that it was just her and Brenda? I don't know if she did or not. I mean,
I'm sure she had to.
Maybe. I mean, at the very least, I think she knew based on, I mean, did she do this challenge in the past?
I've never seen this one.
Oh, I've definitely seen this challenge before. I mean, at the very least, she could probably tell, like, she's got to know that it's down to just a couple people. Just like Malcolm.
She was on Redemption Island?
Yeah. I feel like Malcolm knew that, too, that, like, I feel like you know, when he bailed out, he's like, I think he thought to himself, I feel like I lasted long enough that I could be close to winning.
Mm.
And he took a look and he was like, three, four people, I'm not that close, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Andrea probably had the same thing and probably wouldn't even have needed to look. Like, she probably knew for sure that she was worst case top three, you know, to have lasted as long as she did. You can also, I mean, depending on where you are on that grate, you can probably also feel them bailing out.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, you've got your two neighbors you know. So
that was nuts.
Yeah, I was worried for both of them in how entangled they were in
Andrea
the grave.
Especially.
There, it was like when it comes time to bail out, like you're probably waiting until about as absolute the last second you can, and. I mean, like, it's not just like, okay, I'm up. Like, you gotta untangle and then get out and free from the gate and around it. That was
awful.
Intense.
Awful.
That was real intense.
I could never do that. I mean, I look at some of these challenges and I'm like, okay, I could maybe do that for a while, but this one, awful. Awful. Yeah.
I was real impressed with Brenda's technique, though. I mean, it was great. It looked like, did she have both a cupping of the mouth, but did she also have her fingers positioned to plug her nose, or was she cupping her nose?
Who knows? I couldn't even see inside the little cone. But
right.
She was locked in.
She was down. I mean, she didn't move at all. She was just there. I mean, maybe the key was she got comfortable enough, took a nap, didn't need as much oxygen. You know? I mean, you go to sleep, you don't need as much oxygen.
If you don't hyperventilate, you're not going to need as much oxygen.
Yeah, that's step one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Does the result of Tribal Council change if someone on Bro Alliance wins? Because I thought no. I don't think the result changes.
Well, especially the way Tribal Council ended up going now. Yeah, I mean, I think then they just go for Michael, especially if they're fearful.
Right. Instead of
a,
getting to Michael at the end, they would just get to Michael at the beginning.
Exactly, yeah. You know, it's... Yeah, I think so. I think it's Michael either way. I was just amazed, though, that, like, it's so funny because they talk about how, who was it? Andrea, I think, talks about, like, what a good liar Malcolm is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I mean, maybe he is a good liar. Maybe, I mean, because we're sitting here.
He did proclaim that he was good at lying to women.
Well, and that might be true. Was that?
He's a bartender. I'm sure that's all he does is watch guys lie to women all day.
Well, that's true, right. Yeah, he sits there watching everybody cut their game. But did he say that on the show, or did he say that in one of those post interviews?
He said it in a confessional.
Oh, okay. But I guess we have the benefit of seeing behind the curtain. We know it's all going on, so it feels less. I don't know. It feels to me like he's not nearly that good a liar.
Andrew's not that good a liar either.
Right.
When Eddie's like, is it Malcolm? Is it Michael? She's like, oh, it's not Malcolm. Why is it not? Why would it be Malcolm? Like,
right. Yeah, I thought that was bad. Yeah, I agree.
It was horrible.
Yeah, the like, hyper-denial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's how you know when... List off all the names. The one they object to the most, that's who they're voting for.
Exactly.
Of course, Eddie was not in tune enough to ferret that out. You know, should we go straight to tribal now?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's talk about it.
I mean...
The only person I feel like we've given short shrift is Dawn.
She's playing well. Wait, say that again?
Dawn, we've given her short shrift. Like, we really haven't talked much about Dawn.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, she's playing really well right now. It looks like it's about to get to her, apparently, based on our next time on Survivor.
Right.
Wow, if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's the lifeline that those guys need.
Exactly.
If she opts out, she taps out.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing great.
Why did people keep trusting her? Like, how did they not figure out that she was the problem? You know?
Oh, you mean
because
like...
They went into that thing thinking they've got 6-6 and hopefully a 7. They
right.
end up getting 5.
Right. And did they all know that it was Dawn that was going to be their 7th?
No. They thought it was going to be 6-6, but it ended up being going against them. I don't know. It's surprising that they would have not realized that Dawn was the issue.
Yeah, they seem to all think that she's the one on the outside there and not Brenda.
Not Brenda and Eric.
Why are they...
Sherry.
Well, they know...
They know Sherry's...
And they know Eric is the outside, too. He just is... He's just not playing the game, so it's difficult
to
get him to do anything.
But Brenda's also not playing the game.
I don't know. I feel like she's doing a good job. I feel like, and it's funny because I'm usually very anti the lie low game.
You know what she feels like to me? She feels like the lonely pretty girl. It's like she's the girl that's like so popular that no one talks to her.
Yeah, we haven't seen much. I mean, like,
You know, like everyone's too intimidated.
If she hadn't been on Survivor Nicaragua,
we'd be like, "What is she doing?"
She'd be Julia. She'd be Julia. She'd be Julia and Eric.
But people
actually,
are,
no, Eric is clueless when you talk to him.
People aren't clamoring for Julia flavored things.
Right.
I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe it's because I saw her play Nicaragua, and I felt like she was good there, and so maybe I'm just letting her.
She was
letting
too
her.
Good there.
Yeah, she was a little too good, and then she was a little, and then she was a little full of herself yes. with how good she was yes. because she played the like
I'm too you big can't, to scramble.
You can't scramble because then that looks weak. Baloney.
Yeah. You know what looks weak?
Yeah.
Andrea freaking out.
Yeah.
That looks weak. Okay? If I was on her alliance, I would be like, if I was Cochran, I would have no.
Oh, yeah. When she was like, I'm going home.
And he mentioned it to me. He's like, I am not pleased with how she's reacting to this. You know? She's like, I'm going home. It's going to be me. Like.
Yeah, she did seem to. Yeah, she did seem to really flip out there.
She can't handle it if her name's up.
Interesting.
Remember the first day? It was Francesca, and
right.
Andrea, and she freaked out.
Did she?
She was holding her head. She's like, oh my God, I'm going home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. If it was either of us out there, we'd be losing it.
Not like
too.
That. Not
I mean,
like
not
that.
Losing it like that, but
not
like.
Not when I know I'm in the numbers.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because you can do exactly what she did, but Dawn had her finger on the button. She's like, we've got this opportunity, and we're not taking it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be there at the end with Michael? You know? What's he done?
Yeah, but he can talk, at least.
Little,
you know,
I don't know.
I think he can. I mean, I don't know. I would give... I feel like he's going to be... At the very least, like, he's not going to weave a wonderful story, necessarily, but he's also not going to trip on his words.
Yeah.
You know, he's at least going to be able to put sentences together and...
He is well-liked.
Yeah.
There is that.
He's got Corinne's vote.
But he's also not going to beat you in immunity, you know, challenge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, they did miss the opportunity there. I mean, I was amazed. I thought for sure my horse was going to the glue factory. I'm just loaded with analogies tonight. I'm like, sometimes it's this face to face thing. Yeah. Like,
don't break your arm patting yourself on the back, there, buddy.
Well, no, I know, but I'm not. I didn't say they were great analogies. I just said I'm loaded with analogies, which really is. I mean, is this not me? This is who I am.
You can't podcast anyone's game but your own.
I am long for the analogies. podcast. Yeah, now I'm podcasting my own game myself. I mean, Ralph. We like to go meta. I mean, come on.
Right. We're a podcast about podcasting.
Right.
I get it. Yeah.
See, that's what we'll have Lizzie and Jonas do. Like, stop threatening to start your own podcast.
Just do podcast a podcast about our podcast.
Podcast about our podcast. Break it down. Let us know what's going on. I mean, we've got 50 listeners out of, like, what's the fan base of Survivor?
10 million or so.
10 million. Yeah. So that's good for... You know, by that ratio, they should be able to come away with, like, one download every, what, 100 episodes? 1,000 episodes? Something like that. That's worth a shot. Look, we're not getting rich off of this. Why should they?
No. All right. So, Tribal?
So at Tribal, you know, they were doing the cutaway thing. You know, while one person talks, cut to somebody else's reaction to it. And I'm always so suspect of it all. Because it's like, am I getting the reaction, the actual reaction that's occurring while this is being said? Or are they splicing this together? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we saw a few cuts, at least three cuts to Malcolm while different people were speaking. Mostly Philip, but I think there was somebody else.
And he kept changing shirts while he was at Tribal. It was the weirdest thing.
What?
His beard would come in and out.
Right. In one of them, he was wearing a buff from Survivor Philippines.
Sitting next to Denise.
Like, right.
I'm not fooled.
Exactly, right. Yeah. In one of them, Abby Maria was just getting berated. No, I... I got the impression, I mean, ultimately at the end of the episode, based on how everything goes down, you get the impression that it was a fairly genuine edit.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Hope and Eddie, no, the Eddie and, oh, he passed over the best comment of the whole thing.
What?
Reynolds' comment about Hope.
I'm blanking.
Oh, it was at the reward. He says, Hope's gone, so there's no one bleepable around.
Oh, he did say that. That's right. I forgot about it. I didn't even know what he was saying. Like, I missed the beginning of the sentence, and I remember that. I remember it being bleeped out. And I'm like, what did he just say? And
I didn't bother jumping back. No one bleepable is around anymore.
Oh.
And Hope wasn't even his little snuggle buddy.
Who was Hope? There was a Hope?
There was a Hope
was
and Eddie.
Was she the first one
there
out?
There was Hope and Eddie.
Oh, and then there was
Allie and Reynolds.
Allie and Reynolds. Oh, okay. So Hope was the one that Eddie got snuggly with?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even remember that part because it was over so fast.
Yeah.
I guess we have to remember that for him, that was only like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I guess I should have made that comment about how he was like dialing down the D-bag factor.
Right. Yeah, no.
Because he certainly cranked it up for that one.
But anyway, Malcolm's cuts, Malcolm's slut, the edits to the shots of Malcolm, like, listening. Like, if nothing else, the editors deserve credit for putting together this little montage cutting back and forth between the person who's speaking and Malcolm with these highly pensive looks on his face, and you can feel him sort of piecing it all together. Now, the question, of course, becomes, did he really piece it together there, or was he hip to it long before Tribal Council?
Did they talk about it? Did him and Reynolds plan this at all?
And, well, it sounds like, I don't know, it seemed like Reynolds felt like he ought to play the idol there, but wasn't, like, loving the play. I think he was in very 50-50.
He wanted to avoid Jane. He wanted to avoid
exactly. He felt very 50-50, and he was like, you know, better to play it and I survive and I wasted it than not play it and I go home with this thing. And so he was kind of 50-50, and he was and you know, maybe Malcolm sensed that. I doubt he sensed that. But like, because he, I mean, it happened so quickly.
If I was Malcolm, I would have felt the same way. Like, look, it's me going home.
Oh, exactly. And the way Philip deserves credit there. Like, what he said there, that made it sound a lot like
Malcolm was going.
There is a mole
in the favorite.
In Spies Are Us, and I actually the first time I said it, I couldn't think of the name, and Spies for some reason was the one that came to mind, not Stealth or whatever it is. But yeah, Philip made it sound like there's a mole in Spies Are Stealth, and this mole was getting snuffed out tonight, and.
Yeah.
You know, if
here's my thing. If I'm Malcolm,
do you think that was a next level play? Do you think that was a play to make them play to get them to use the idol on the wrong person?
You think Philip made a next level play?
I don't know. I mean, that guy, he was smart enough to throw a challenge like right in the middle of it. I mean, it wasn't an upper body challenge, so you know.
This week he had the chance to give him the Larry Bird and the Magic Johnson, and he missed.
The Larry Bird and the Magic Johnson.
And the Magic Johnson. Like, there was the little reward challenge where he had to, like, shoot it over.
Oh, right, right.
Did he make it? He didn't make it.
He made one. No, he made one, I think, at one point. I think just about everybody scored. Well, yeah, I mean, because you ended
up... Cochran scored.
Yeah. And Eddie came up short. Actually, no, I think Eddie scored on the second try, but he came up short on his first one.
Anyway.
But it was, I mean, it was
great. If I'm Michael, or if I'm Malcolm, like, if I think I'm going to make this move, I think the best way is to spring it on him and on the spot. Because in that moment, without any forethought, in front of the tribe, in front of Jeff at Tribal, mm-hmm. How do you stonewall the guy who's gotten you to this point?
What do you mean? Malcolm hasn't
How do you say no to Malcolm?
Malcolm hasn't gotten Reynolds anywhere.
But he's getting him somewhere. Like, he's the one that's actively trying to keep him in the game.
Oh, okay. That's
more,
true.
More than anyone.
That's
he's
true.
The one trying to keep him in the game.
Yeah.
He's the one he's hitched his wagon to.
Right.
How do you say no in that
moment? Oh, yeah. You're right.
Also.
I mean, this is so brilliant. This is amazing.
Malcolm
news.
Is so sick for doing this.
Oh, so sick. I jumped out of... I mean, I was already standing up now that I think about it. because it was a tense moment for me, because like I said, my horse was going to the glue factory, I thought. And so I'm already pacing. It's the last seconds of a basketball game. It's the last out of a baseball game for me type atmosphere in the room. And
Stacy's doing what?
And she's just sitting there like laughing.
Shaking her head.
Laughing at me. Yeah, exactly.
SMH.
And then when he starts doing, like, I was just, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And at first when he said hold up, I thought, I wonder what was going to happen from there. Because the thing is what happens if Reynolds says no? Does he then play his own idol
right,
there?
That's the question.
That's a big, I mean, that's big. Or better yet, was
I don't think he can. I don't think he can.
I don't think he can either.
Because he asked for it and he produces
awful.
His own.
That looks
Whoa.
Bad news. Yeah.
Whoa.
But then also, the other question is, like, there's so much going on. Like, he voted for Reynolds, which that was really weird.
That was weird.
I don't understand that.
That was weird.
Maybe he'll be able to talk this away and say that that was Michael who did that.
Or it was maybe Eric or Brenda, someone who's not in
the game. No, because the thing is the only three votes went to Andrea. That's the thing. So Reynolds knows with virtual certainty that it's one of three people, Malcolm, Eddie, or Michael, who didn't vote for Andrea. Now, fortunately for Malcolm, one of the four of them actually went home, so that person can get tossed under the bus as the person who threw a vote
did
at Reynolds.
Did you just use throw under the bus properly?
I think I did.
Well,
I think I did.
So
yeah, I'd forgotten about that. The old under the bus from Survivor Philippines, and how frequently we use that phrase.
Eddie used it this episode.
Did he?
Terrible. Yeah.
Oh, he did. I don't remember the context, but what I don't understand is, you know, he said, what did he say when he was voting? He said something like, this was supposed to be a throwaway vote, now maybe this will mean it's you. Which I don't get that. I mean, I guess maybe the only thing I can think there is that he thinks somehow that they actually that Spies Are Stealth is actually splitting the vote for real.
Right.
And maybe he was supposed to have voted for Eddie, and instead he's going to vote for Reynolds to make that be the majority there.
But then why ask for his idol?
So that he doesn't play it and stick around and
be mad at him for tipping the vote to him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Malcolm can afford to lose any allies at this point.
Well, but then why is he throwing a vote at him? That was really weird.
Who knows?
Part of me wondered if when he said hold up, if he was at like a crossroads in his head. Because he said wait a second or whatever it was. And I feel like there was a pause. And maybe there wasn't. Maybe that was edited in. But I feel like there was a pause. And I wonder if he was like, am I going to tell him to not play it because I'm going to play mine, or am I going to tell him to give me his? Like, did he actually, like, contemplate that question in that way?
No, he had to be thinking about that. Because remember, there's time to, like, set up the vote and, like, read the votes and all that stuff.
That's true. So he's got a lot. Yeah, that's true. There's more time in there than we're seeing.
Yeah.
But, wow. I mean, ultimately, it ends up being inconsequential.
Well, it's not inconsequential for a couple of reasons. I think going forward now...
It looks like Malcolm doesn't have his own idol.
It looks like Malcolm doesn't have his
That's,
own.
That
it looks
is
like Reynolds is, you know, if Reynolds can, what am I trying to say?
Like he's manipulable?
Not that he's manipulable, but he's shown that he's loyal and he's shown that he's willing to take chances. And I think if he gets to the end, he can kind of say, look, I took this chance. And,
right.
And, you know, I think it works out okay for Malcolm with Reynolds because it was never going to be Reynolds anyways. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, so yeah, exactly.
That saves his face.
Reynolds can feel okay with this. Like, it might be a little tough. It might be a little bit of a pill to swallow for him because Malcolm ended up being wrong about who they were voting
out. Does Reynolds look stupid in the eyes of the others? I don't think so.
Oh, no,
I think it's
because... It's a chance he took. Well, and to them, and granted, you know, they showed faces them with their faces like, oh, God, they got us, when, of course, they didn't. But nonetheless, like, you know, I guess what those faces really were whew, we dodged a bullet there. But I think they're on. I think what it did is it put them on notice, and perhaps actually maybe puts an even darker target on Reynolds and Malcolm's back is like, wow, these guys were close to snaking us and outwitting us here.
So maybe it's bad in that it galvanizes.
Right. It makes them feel like we really got to stick together because these guys will find a crack and outwit us.
Maybe. You know when we'll find out?
Next week on Survivor. Ralph, how effing epic would it have been if they had voted for Malcolm? I mean, does it trump Russell Hance?
Yes.
Does it trump every single thing?
Not every single thing.
I can't think of, I don't mean the collective works, but I mean each thing that he did individually, like as singleton moves.
As a single act, yes.
That's the all-time singleton move.
My comment was on a scale of zero to Michael Corleone in terms of how badass this
right.
was.
Okay? Isn't it Corleone, not Corleone?
The Italian pronunciation is Corleone.
Okay.
So I said it was an 86, and if the vote was for him, then it's a 98. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was knocked down a peg from the vote not being
right.
Him.
Of course,
if it was him, that is so.
So you're saying like BB plus move? No, this isn't a BB plus move. This is minimum A minus move.
Okay.
This is a minimum.
So you're saying if it's for him, then we're talking like.
It's an ace. It's 100. It's 100. Are you kidding me? It's 100.
Yeah. Okay.
If the vote is for him, he had, like.
The only reason for me it's not 100 is because the following week, they still would have been down 4-6.
Okay. Well, but there's nothing he can do about that in that spot. And here's the thing. I think if he doesn't already have an idol in his pocket, then it's a 98 if they vote for him. But because he actually already has an idol in his pocket, if they had voted for him and he got Reynolds to give them him the idol mm-hmm. and he played it for him,
yeah.
that's a 100. It's an ace. It's a pure ace.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
Oh my gosh, I would have been on the floor. I literally would have gone to the right. floor if that
little,
had happened.
Malcolm-shaped puddle
yes.
on the ground.
I would have been like, holy cow, this guy is my idol, and I'm going to start trumping up this stuff that Ralph says about me kind of looking like him.
I've kind of backed off that train.
You have.
Your hair's not nearly long enough.
Right.
You're not
straggly
in the face.
Well, and he's lost a ton of weight playing back-to-back seasons. This guy is looking at like 70 straight days out in the bush. Yeah. I mean, he's doing. I mean, he's not there yet, but he's doing the Russell.
Yeah,
he's doing back to back seasons.
Yeah,
he was in the final the first one. He's going deep in this one.
What is it
39-39 was what Hance did.
78 days.
I mean, to come. I mean,
no, he did. He did what 38. Malcolm did 38. He didn't do.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. He did 38. You're right. Yeah, but. I mean, if he can get to, well, let's see.
How can he get to 39?
Okay, well, no, he's not going to get to 39. It's just not going to happen. I'm okay with it. I'm buying stock in Elmer's.
He needs to find a way to make his you know.
He just needs to
got to be an asset to somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's just got to find his way to Pareto efficiency.
Yes.
Because the thing is the spies are stealth. They're all savvy players, and at least one of them learned their lesson on the
Dawn.
No,
Andrea?
On yes, on the 6-person alliance that never cracks and votes out everybody else, and then goes to feast on themselves. She learned her lesson on that because she was number 6, wasn't she?
Didn't she didn't know it. Yeah.
Or Grant might have been number 6.
No,
Grant was five.
Grant was in
five.
The 3, but he was eliminated because he was a threat.
No, but I mean in terms of what place he came in the season.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what place he came in.
Right.
It's where were you in that alliance? To me, it doesn't matter where you end up. It's like the whole time, where were you?
That's true. And he was closer in than, or at least it seemed like he was. I don't think he actually was. I think Rob made him feel like he was, but he never actually was.
No, I think he was just because Rob was okay with telling him everything.
No, but he. I mean, that's the thing. Is I think in Rob's plan, Grant was always going to go because he knew Grant was too likable. He knew Grant was too nice.
That doesn't mean he wasn't in power. I think Grant had control of the game. He just never took the step of.
What do you mean he was in control of the game?
Well, not
Rob
control
was in
of
control
game, but he was like he had an ear. He had Rob's ear. He did.
No, I think what
you, you think
what,
no one had Rob's ear.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only person who had Rob's ear was Rob, and
Shane on his wooden cell phone.
Right. Yeah, Shane had him on speed dial, on speed
in his favorite
speed knot.
Yeah, he'd call Siri, be like, "Hey, speed, I don't mean Siri, I mean Siri. Like, hey Siri,
speed splinter,
wood Siri, call right. call boss and Rob."
Because I think what we saw was Rob and Grant developed a genuine friendship, but he was always going to be fourth or fifth place, and it was really just going to depend
on... Does
that
mean he's not in power?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, like, let's call a spade here. Yeah. Like, it was Boston Rob and everybody else in that tribe, right? I mean,
yeah.
There was no meeting of the minds when they decided who to vote home. It was Rob telling everybody when they decided who was going home. I think Malcolm just needs to make, at this point, and actually maybe Malcolm is starting to realize this, I think he just needs to make sure that he's the last one around.
If he can get through 2 weeks, this week and next week, if he can play the idol and win a challenge,
so that gets him to the top eight.
I think he can find.
I don't know if eight's enough. I think seven's where he's got to get to.
3 weeks.
I think he's got to get to seven because then he's the one left outside of Spies Ourselves.
But you just said Andrea's not going to wait till it gets to the top six, and then
that's what I'm saying.
You think it's going to happen at seven?
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to happen at nine?
I think she's going to pull somebody off.
You don't think it's happening at nine?
At nine?
At nine.
We're at ten
nine,
right now.
At nine, you can have the core four of Philip and Andrea and.
Dawn and Cochran.
Dawn and Cochran, and then the other five can be like, oh, well, those four are controlling the game.
Yeah, but that's not like...
The problem is those five have no...
Because the one that they're going to pull is Brenda. Or Eric. Or Sherry. Because all three of those are... They're all satellites. They're not a collective three.
Right.
And even if they were, they wouldn't be worried about it then.
Or maybe Dawn and Cochran break away, and they're like, well, we got to break up Andrew and Phyllis.
That I could see. I could see Cochran trying to make them move. Because the thing is the kind of Malcolm is the kind of person who actually might bring Cochran to the finals. And there are not many people out there that I think would bring Cochran to the final. Well, because Malcolm has the cockiness from his first season. Like Malcolm got voted off at that last tribal council. In truth, in his mind, and in everybody's mind, because he was too much of a threat to win.
He was going to win.
Right. And he believed it was because he was likable, and because he could talk, and because he was good in challenges. Like, he had the all-around game.
And so he's not had a large hand in who went home.
And so he's not going to sweat Cochran at a final tribal, because... Well, anybody should.
Everyone should.
And maybe he will because he is he's a self-pronounced super fan of the show. But I think Malcolm might be cocky enough. I mean, he has said, I don't plan on keeping him around long in reference to Cochran. But given his straits right now,
Malcolm,
he's going to take whoever's going to be willing to work.
Cochran, Malcolm, Eric Cochran?
No, Dawn.
Dawn.
Dawn. Cochran and Dawn.
You don't want to be there with Cochran and Dawn. No.
No, you don't want to be.
No.
But if that's your option, because right now...
Are we going down to two? This was our first jury member. There was 11 left. We're going down to two.
You think so?
They did that in Fans vs. Favorites 1. It was Parvati versus Amanda. And, like, they're all happy because it was with Sarita. Like, oh, the three of us. And I was like, no. You're going down to two.
Wait a minute. Nobody counted the days.
Right. You lost count of the days.
Wait a minute. Where's that last tick mark? Yeah, you could be right. We might be going to two. But either way, like, I mean, I think, maybe not. I mean, Dawn and Cochran don't seem to be nearly as tight as maybe we're giving them credit for.
Because Cochran's got some attachment with Andrea.
Yeah, he seems to work with her a lot more. Mm-hmm. Although he also seems to be willing to be rid of her based on her little tantrum. Yeah.
All right. Well, like I said, it'll all play out next week. Hopefully your boy makes it. I don't want him to be glue. He's really good for the show.
He is good for the show. And I feel like he's suffering a little bit from the worm syndrome I talked about last week, You know, he needs to sit on it. Yeah. But on the other hand, I think his hand has been forced a little bit now because of what happened with Corinne. Definitely. And
the Rubicon has been crossed.
I hope
the die has been cast.
I need to start keeping a notebook of all the things we say on this podcast. That or I have all the podcasts.
Or you could listen to our podcast.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I guess if I somehow ever ended up cast
on the show. Because then we'd have 52 listeners.
Right. If I ever get cast on the show, I could just go back and listen to all the podcasts. But that would be a little bit time consuming as compared to just reading the notes of like working out. Why am I going to go work out? I want to go into that show with a bit of a gut so I have something to lose.
Yeah, but you want muscle. Yeah, you get some mass on
you. I'm fairly athletic.
Yeah, you are. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we could all stand a little.
Oh, yeah. No, I've got a gut. I mean, I sucked it in the ultimate team picture that was taken today for the yearbook. I was definitely sucking it in. But I feel like if I got in too good shape, like, I have a slight enough frame that, like, I get in too good shape, I go on that show, I'm going to waif out
here. Hold on. Chris is already ideal. Let's
No, I'm not saying ideal. I'm just saying, like, I have a very slight frame. So, like, in shape on my frame, there's not a lot there. So then I go on this show, I lose, like, 30 pounds. Like, I'm not going to be able to hold myself up, you know?
All right, Chris. What's our online presence like?
What's our online presence? Well, our online presence looks a lot better than
looking
it used
better.
To.
Looking better. Looking good.
We've got I located
picture.
The password.
We've got a picture now on the.
Did you upload
Twitter
that?
I did.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember if I had done that or not. But yeah, we got an avatar up there finally. We're no longer just an egg. The handle is at Tribal Podcast.
It is.
Ralph is finally tweeting on that.
I am.
And we can be emailed. The address is podcast@tc.vanvee.net, and our RSS feed for all the episodes to get automatically downloaded is tc.vanvee.net.
All right, guys, thanks for sticking with us. We know it's been an arduous journey, but a good one. Anyways, looking forward to more with this season. It's been great, and this is easily the best season we podcasted. Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, because we only podcasted the Redemption Island was the only Russell season we podcasted. Yeah, so I would agree with that. It's probably the best one.
Let's keep it rolling. See you next time.